Michael Hutchings is the head of First Nations programming at the Sydney Opera House, and his plate is incredibly full right now, in the best way possible. From Generations and Dynasties to Unwrapped to Vivid Sydney and Dance Rites, the Opera House, a place rapper Briggs once called the whitest building in the country, is looking and sounding pretty black at the moment. I caught up with Michael, who's only been in the role for a year, to find out how he's putting his stamp on the Opera House.
My worldview was very shaped by both my mother and my father. My mother is Aranda, desert people, Alice Springs, Central Aranda. She was sent to Adelaide when she was 13 because her mother was dying, but they never sent her back. So she was kind of stolen generation. And so I guess she taught me resilience and strength and also empathy. And my dad is a white man. He's Cornish English and a few other bits. And he was just a man of good principles. He taught me what was good about Western culture, about the good philosophers and thinkers and writers. And he was also a commissioner of planning and development. So he was able to be respected by both sides of politics because he was powerful, because he was uncorruptible. So that's another thing I was taught, just to be honest. And, you know, it's actually much better to be a nice person. It's better for your soul, better for your health. A good person, not nice.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a nuanced distinction, oh, but yeah. Such an important one.
Nice can be not nice. Good is good.
Well, you've had an incredibly varied work experience in the mm-hmm. arts and music industry, from APRA AMCOS mm-hmm. to Pyro Music, as well as Surry Hills Festival and the Australia Council mm-hmm. for the Arts. What through line do you see in your career?
My through line really is, it's about culture and the artists. And I was also an artist myself. I went to art school and I was sung in bands and I was a commercial photographer. So it's about having that empathy for what they're doing, because they're putting their soul on the line. And it's a privilege, but it's also a real challenge, because not only is every job your last job, it's not just a job. You're actually telling the world your own truths. And that can be uplifting, but it can also be a trial. So just to give them a hug every now and again.
It's led you to your latest job, mm-hmm. which is head of First Nations programming mm-hmm. at the Sydney Opera House. Pretty much the best known cultural institution in the country. Mm. What drew you to the role?
Well, I'll tell you a little secret. The First Nations producer there is Jess Beck, who also sings in Pyrrha. She told me the job was coming up and then it was advertised and she said, you have to go with it. I want you to be my boss. And I said, I already am. But also, look, really, I went for it and it was a full-on process. Had to put programs together and everything. But for me, this is a pinnacle job. Everything's led to this. My life and my career, I can't think of such a prestigious and important job and fun job too. So, yeah, all roads lead to the house on Tubagali.
I mean, you're right to kind of note that it is, as much as it's a fun job, it's one that comes with a lot of responsibility. Yeah. How are you putting your stamp on the house? Because you are the third person to hold this role.
Well, obviously, Auntie Rhoda Roberts created it, and that's a pretty big foundation. And then Beau James held the fort during COVID, which would have been quite a difficult thing to do. And I think he's moved on to the powerhouse doing great things. So it's, yes, look, for me, it's that legacy. And I was a bit blown away, to tell you the truth, when I got the job. To me, I thought, what am I going to do to make it different? Now I'm a little bit older. I was thinking, I know these artists I've been working with for 20 plus years, and now their children are coming up to be the next in line and amazing artists and cultural icons, and the journey that took to get there. That's what I want to show. The leading edge, cutting edge young contemporary artists, but also the foundations. And I think that's what it's about.
I really love, the Generations and Dynasty programming is such an interesting one. You've got artists like Troy Cassidaly and his daughter Jem Cassidaly, the Briscoe sisters. And I think there's something really lovely in, like you were saying, recognizing the people that have led the way and who they're bringing in behind them. There's quite a few dynastic families in terms
dynasties,
of
that for sure.
I would love to, this is me just sort of thinking out loud, but I would love for this series to continue into other forms of creative spaces.
I've automatically other musical families, I can't say who, their managers are like, we want to do that. And we thought, yes, we'll do it again with musical families, but we'll find other ways to do it with other art forms, because there's film families and visual art families and theatre and dance families. And, I'd do it every week if I could. So, but who knows? If they're successful, we'll definitely grow and mutate into other ideas around that as a central premise.
Yeah. I mean, it's so exciting to have a new idea, like one that is uniquely yours.
Yes.
But you are bringing back an old favourite and one that was originated by Rhoda Roberts, Dance Rights. Tell me about Dance Rights for 2024.
Wow. Well, last year was my first. I'd been in the job for 2 months. Jess was carrying the thought, but we got an amazing team in to help us. Tristan Field and Jasmine Gulish came in to help us. So it was a bit a seat of our pants, but we're all good at this business. And we all believe in it. And this is, it's unique. There is other dance competitions and other things in other countries, but this is unique because we bring everyone from all over the country as much as we can. You know, it is hard to get people in from the West, but we do encourage them and we do have some funds to help them. But it's about thousands of years worth of culture and cultural exchange across generations. And either keeping storytelling or building new storytelling where it's being lost, you know. And it's over 2 days and it's free and it takes over the Opera House. And it really presses home that the Opera House is for everybody and we need everyone there just to have, you know, to learn and have a good time. So,
Michael, have you been to Dance Rights just as as a spectator?
Yeah.
How does it change when you're on side of it?
Well, I'm not there for 2 days straight. out on the Cockatoo Island where the artists are staying, which is fantastic. I used to just go down for a couple of hours. I wouldn't plan it. I would just get on the train or the bus, head down and just hang out, see people, watch them dance and say hello to people I hadn't seen for a while and cheer everything on. Might be an hour, might be 4 hours. But many times I'd always make sure if I was around in town to at least go down for a little while. So I think that's what's great about it. You can come and go. But some people stick through the whole thing as well. Mm. So it gives you that choice and that's what's good about it. Mm. Yes.
The other big event that I need to ask you about is Vivid.
Oh, wow.
You have co-curated the First Nations artists alongside Vivid Live's curator, Ben Marshall. As a result, we have just the most outstanding acts.
Well, I mean, it just goes to prove that a lot of the best contemporary music acts in the country are First Nations acts. It's just, they would be there anyway. I was just getting a few more in, you know. And Ben is amazing to work with. He's got such a creative mind. The whole program's fantastic. It's really interesting. It was just getting down and just working out, getting a real mix of genres and styles and really pushing that. And having one of the artists we've got is Inkaby. He's like 12 years old.
Yes.
And he's killing it. I just couldn't stop watching the video. I go, who is this kid? And he's there with his dad. And so that's that whole generations thing, just on stage together. And they'll be playing on the same night as Tasman Keith, who will be headlining. So, yeah. And then, and Thelma Plum is the big one. She's releasing a whole lot of new music. I took her around the actual theatre because she wanted to see it. She hadn't been in there and she was just going, oh my God, this is going to be amazing. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. You know, so it's going to look fantastic, not just sound fantastic. So, Kiat and Barker and Tia Goslow and Last Connection are playing and South Summit over from WA. So, and rock and roll, yeah.
I mean, you can really tell that you're a music guy.
Yeah.
This is such a, like you said, it's such an incredible mix of genres. It's an incredible mix of artists at all stages of their career and from all over the country.
Yeah, but all top level.
Mm.
Yeah. So who are you excited to see?
Who am I? I'm excited to see Barker. I've recently missed out on tickets to one of her gigs I'm not going to let that happen again. I have to admit I've always adored watching Kayet play live.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm not someone who, like, I don't have music training, so I just sit back and, like, bask.
That's what all art's about. It's about communicating to the audience, you know. Yeah. It's nice to know a little bit, but, you know.
You've got another exciting dance work that is coming. So, Silence.
Yeah. Choral Productions in combination with Black Dance.
Yeah.
I've had a lot. I didn't really realise had a lot to do with dance, because when I was a commercial photographer, I used to do a bit for NASDA, and I used to shoot for Rachel Perkins, and I used to shoot for, got some Bangara stuff. So I thought, hang on, I actually know this. And I was looking at all the black choreographers. I said, I actually know all these people. So I do have this cross knowledge across the arts. And also when I was at Creative Australia as well, working on grants with many artists. But one of the great things about Silence is Thomas E. Kelly. He's in his early 30s and it's his own dance company. And he decided in his 20s, I just spoke to him recently, it was a big decision to go, even though I was a great dancer, to go to not dance but to be a choreographer. And most people take ages. So he's been doing it for a few years now and he's kicking goals. He's going to be the next Stephen Page, that's for sure. And the thought and the ideas, you know, this whole idea, it's about treaty and reconciliation, but not boring. It's about communication and it's about music and dance. And they've got Jindy Laurie is going to be the percussionist on the stage, another music icon. And that's be the first contemporary dance. I've programmed other dance things in the past, but not a contemporary dance performance like this. So I'm really excited. This is a new thing for me. And that's why I'm at the Opera House. So.
And it's part of a...
Unwrapped.
Yes.
Unwrapped is a series that that is funded by the Opera House through other sources. But it's to give cutting edge theatre and dance and circus and performing arts groups a chance to get in the Opera House and do a short week and just bang it out. And we need to do that, because not everyone can, you know, have a month-long season for 1,000 people a night. We need the smaller, just as important arts companies in there smashing it out. Mm. So yeah,
it allows those smaller companies to be able to say, I've played the Opera House, you know, and that comes with a certain kind of cachet that does actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Kirill Project's been going for a while, and this is towards the end of the run of this particular piece, because he's already working on other pieces, and they're coming straight from Perth, so they should be well honed. So bang, bang. So yeah, 4 nights in the studio, rocking it.
I'm delighted. Silence from Choral Projects is a work that I have been, like, I've spoken to Thomas about it. Oh, wow. I've been hearing about it and reading about it, but I've not been able to see it because they've not performed in Sydney.
It's expensive to do anything in Sydney. And so it's nice. We're so privileged to get him in, and he's so happy about it.
Something that I'm always thinking about when it comes to a venue like the Opera House, you know, because it can be an intimidating place if you aren't used to going. I mean, yeah, basically, it can feel like an intimidating place. Mm. I know that the Opera House does do quite a lot to mitigate that. Like, there's no dress code. There's, you do actually have, like, very interesting and consistent First Nations programming. Yeah. But things like cost, like, who can actually afford to go and see a show? Mm. Is always kind of in the back of mind.
It's most definitely in the back of mind. That's why for Generations and Dynasties, we've dropped the price a bit, as much as I can anyway. So it's $25 for, like, single tickets. And then if you've got group tickets, and this for a family, it's $20 a ticket. I know that's still be a lot of money for people, but that's as cheap as I could push it down to. I think that's affordable. It's there's not many things you can get for $20 these days. So you can get Troy and Jem for $20. And Troy, he's usually headlining major concert halls. So, and he'll be doing a few songs as well. So it's much as possible, we want to bring it back to community. And also, yeah, it is an intimidating building, because as amazing and beautiful as it is, it was built as an opera house. It's built on that kind of white foundation of opera and classical music, which is fine. It still has that. But it's going to take a little bit longer just to, we won't not knock down the walls, but figuratively, for the community. And the Dance Rights does that as well. So, yeah, it's a cross community, black fellas and other communities as well. It's just, yes, we're trying to bring them in and say, come, it's because it's about you. It's about your cultures.
Actually, you've said something that made me think, I didn't think to ask, are they playing music?
Oh, yes, of course, of course. This is what's unique about Generation Dinner Six, and it is on there. It's a night of conversation and performance. So they'll do at least four songs. But it's about, like, it'll be a section of conversation and they go, ha, that'll lead to a song. So, we're not going to have them on stage just yarning up. They're going to be singing and rapping.
I mean, having them just on stage talking would also would be so interesting. Yeah. But what an opportunity to see.
Look, Troy, for example, he loves campfire talks and music. It's that country tradition. And so the Briscoe sisters. I mean, there's going to be eight of them up there all together, and I don't know if we've got enough time for the Briscoes, because I like to talk and sing. So each session 75 minutes, so it'll go so quickly.
That was Michael Hutchings, Head of First Nations Programming at the Sydney Opera House. There's honestly so much going on at the Opera House over the next little while, including Generations and Dynasties, Unwrapped, Vivid Sydney and Dance Rights. We'll have links for all of those on our show page.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.